Okay. I greet you all in Jesus' name. I am happy to be here again. This is home. I'm not a guest, so I'll be welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time. I was very glad when I got the email to be here at this sanctuary with believers, with brothers and sisters, and everybody else that has been connected by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I am indeed very happy to see, I will not exactly say to see your faces again, because there's a lot of you, and our Nigerian stereotypes about Asians is that you all look alike. So I wouldn't say that. But I bring you greetings from the Diocese of Jos, and my Archbishop is also around, but he just finished preaching at the 8 o'clock service. And I know that you have a marathon of services. Today is really Sunday, and Singapore Sunday is really Sunday, where you wake up in the morning and you know it's a Sunday thing. And but possibly he'll be somewhere around. I'm very grateful to God for my friend, Reverend Canon Terry, the food canon, for this opportunity. And I'm also grateful to God for your lives, that he allowed and permitted you to be alive to be able to see me this Sunday. I bring you greetings from Her Excellency, the Executive Governor of my house, my wife, and the two ministers, the first Minister for Women Affairs, my first daughter, and the Minister for National Security, my second daughter. And from my church, Church of the Advent in Federal Locus in Jos, a very small church of about 40 to 50 people. So I know every single person, and if somebody is not in church on Sunday, I know. Very easy to tell. So I bring you greetings from Nigeria. In a short while, we'll be looking at the Word of God, and I was so grateful when the brother said, I just asked him, just to be sure again, because, you know, Singaporeans, you're very organized, very, very organized. So I asked him, how long am I supposed to be preaching for? And he said, oh, 40, 50 minutes. I said, yes. Because Africans, as you would have noticed, I have not started preaching yet. All this is in the introduction. Or in the greetings. So in a short while, we will just look at the Word of God. And before we do that, I think it would be most appropriate and very wise to pray. So let's bow our heads to pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we are grateful because you still remain God and nothing moves you. We thank you because you did not ask for permission before creating today. And we thank you because you do not go on strike, neither do you go on a holiday, neither do you sleep nor slumber. But God, as you watch over us, Lord, we ask this morning that you will reveal yourself to us in your word, that your word will bring healing, that your word will bring power, and that we will understand the importance of having you around with us. So, Lord, we ask that you'll answer our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be looking at Exodus, where we had... Oh, hey, he's here. Exodus 33, where we had the reading. And when I was asked, so what is going to be the topic of your sermon? I was like, no way. Because most times in where I come from, we just, you know, dig into the Word of God and we're not sure that it really has topics exactly. So trying to find the theme of from a lectionary, Exodus, and I felt just coming out from our mission week. We had missions, and you had your local missions, and you also hosted the international missions. So God just pointed my eyes to say, going with God. Going with God. And it is no accident that your missions week just ended about the same time that the lectionary has this reading. And you know, God doesn't work with accidents. I mean, he's not an accidental God. This is why I needed a handheld mic. He has everything planned out. And as you might have been thinking, oh, we need to put our mission week at this time. And he would have laid it very heavy on the heart of the diocese to put it just about the same time with this reading, because he doesn't make mistakes. I mean, we may have, humanly, we may do things and say, oh, it was a mistake. But with God, he knows everything at every time. He is not bound by time or space and all of that. And this reading is Moses. Now, this is long time ago. The book of Exodus, at least from what we learned in seminary, was written by Moses. Other people have argued otherwise. I believe it was written by Moses. And if we get to heaven and we discover it's not Moses, I'll apologize and accredit it to the right person. But for now, we're told it's Moses, so Moses it is. And Moses had written this. It was also said to have been dated around 14th to 15th century BC. All of that information right now is not really going to help, because I'm not going to give you an exam after this. So let's just look straight at the events. Of the book of Exodus, mostly it's about coming out, like the first half, coming out from slavery. As you would know, Exodus is out, way out. Two words, two Greek words, way out. So most of it, at least the first half, talks about the children of Israel coming out of slavery and bondage. But it would seem that from the whole book of Exodus, which I am glad to say I have read, talks more about God's presence with his people. God trying to establish himself with his people, because he wants to make his people a great nation. He wants to make his people an example to the world. He wants to make his people this wonderful people that others will look up to and see what it means for God to be good. So that's only going to be possible by him being with them. And when I thought of, you know, going with God, I just tried to think around. Generally, we would always say, okay, definition of terms. Going with God. Going with God. I kept reciting that. What does it mean to go with God? In the very first place, where are you going? But we will get to that. Going with God. And I just thought, you know, you can be going around God. You can be going through God. Or you can be going with God. Or even in the New Testament case, you could be going in God. That's a different one. But going with God. And I thought of the busiest airport I have been is, I would say, Dubai. It's the busiest airport I have been. And lots of people are always moving around, you know. And of course, the busiest MRT I've been is in Singapore, where everybody's, you know. And so much is happening in Dubai, and there's many of us, and we meet in one aircraft, and we take off to wherever we're going, and we all come out together, and after the immigration desk, what happens? Come on, talk to me. What happens? Everybody just goes their separate ways. So everybody comes out like in a line, And then after we're done, pew, everybody just vanishes. That is an example I would like to use a little later. Because at a point, I would say we were going together, but we were not, I wouldn't say, let's say if myself and Terry were on that same flight and we arrived and everybody went his separate ways, I wouldn't say I was going with Terry. We were together of some sort, but we were not together in the real sense. Now, when we talk about going with God, this is a journey that is between two people in agreement. So going with God, I could walk, let's say I was going with Terry. Come on. He's my good friend. He makes me do all the work. I'm going to make him do some work right now. So, we're going to go together, huh? Look at that.
It's not Singaporean.
Oh, okay. Okay, look at this, all right? We're going with Terry. Can we go this way? Yay. Yay. Oh, I think we should go this way. Right? Okay, you go that way, I'll go this way. Oh, no. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But let's say because we were going together and I was about to fall, would you let me fall? You'd let me fall?
No.
Oh, no. Of course he will not let me fall. Yeah, you could sit. And when I look at going with God, I see God in that manner. He wants to have you by his side, and he wants to hold you, and he wants to walk with you every single step. And if you're just about to fall, because we're humans, we just have to fall. And he's going to be there, just by your side. And even if you fall 7 times, the Bible says, 7 times you will rise again. And this is how I want us to look at this portion of Scripture. So very quickly, first thing I'd like to look at is verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor." That's the first part I want you to know. That this works in very well in my Nigerian context, because if you come to a Nigerian context and maybe let's say you're looking for a job, one of the first things that people will look into your file is, who are the people who recommended you? The person that recommends you kind of gives you an edge over others. So if I had a recommendation from the president of Nigeria, it doesn't matter what job I'm looking for. In fact, I do not need to go for an interview. I got the job right in my room. Because the president has recommended me. And here is Moses looking for a recommendation. And the wise thing about Moses' search for recommendation is he's not looking for this recommendation from man. Sadly, many times, you know, culturally in Nigeria, we look for men's approval. You know, it's a big thing. And sometimes when we say, well, I'm not looking for man's approval, I want God's approval. And some of the men will tell you, well, God is not down here to look at your papers, so it's going to be man to man. And so we're tempted many times to look and search for God, for man's approval against God's approval. Moses was looking for a recommendation from God. And the purpose is so that when he goes out, he wants the whole world to know that God has got my back. He doesn't want them to think, oh, it's because I was so smart, I was able to outsmart Pharaoh, and I made my way around. No, 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 no. He wants them to know that it is because of God that we were actually being able to be saved from slavery. Now, Asians, we know you people are very, very good with sciences and all of that. And once upon a time in my life, and Americans also, good with medical care and all of that, I fell sick while I was in the U.S. And the medical doctor came out and said, after I was there for months in the hospital, and one of the most senior doctors came and she said, you know, it's hard for me to say this. When she said, it's hard for me to say this now, in Nigeria, there are only few words that are very hard to say. You're either going to tell me I have HIV or I'm about to die tomorrow, I have cancer. You know, those are the hard things to say. She says, it's very hard for me to say this, but we don't know what's wrong with you. That sounded like a joke to me. Come on, almighty America. You cannot tell me that you do not know what is wrong with me. I mean, you put me into gadgets, you put me into computers. I came out, I saw Indian doctors, I saw Asian doctors, I saw American doctors, I saw Black American doctors, I saw all sorts of, I mean, I saw people, I don't even remember their faces. And you cannot tell me what's wrong with me. And they just said, you know, we're just going to keep trying. And I just kept growing lean. And I was just daily just becoming like a toothpick every day. But my mom came to visit and she prayed with me, you know, and the family at home had always been praying. And she came, prayed with me, and was always praying regularly. And I was beginning to get well. Not by the medications. And you know, if this was back in Nigeria, oh, we would have opened a healing ministry straight away. And I started getting well. And over the years, here I am. That what science couldn't do, God had to prove to me in America that you may have all that you think you need in terms of education, which is good. I'm not anti-education. And all the working system and all of that. But if God does not have your back, you're just going to be running in rubbish. And Moses did not want that to happen. And so he says, God, you've always said, oh, you have favor on me and all of this, but you've still not said who you're going to send to go with us. And you know, one of the things I look at here in Singapore is that you all know that tomorrow is going to be Monday, except if there's a holiday. You know, I hear that Indians have the most holidays in the world. I'm not sure about that, but unless if there's a holiday, you all know that tomorrow morning, you're all going to work or you're going to school. Everybody in Singapore is doing something. And you know that by, I don't know what time life begins here, maybe 7 or 7:30. I know you guys, you're like bees. You're always working, always working. So I don't know what time life begins for you here, but I know that you're certain tomorrow you're definitely going to be doing something. And I could see Moses in this same situation, and he's saying, look, God, tomorrow I'm not going to work if you don't go with me. Now, I don't know how well that's going to sink here, but if you don't show up in the office and your boss asks you, oh, why didn't you show up in the office, and say, oh, God didn't say who he was going to go with me, that's why I didn't come to work. I don't know exactly how that would be, but that would be quite a story. But actually, God wants you to do that in a different way. That from this afternoon, from the story of Moses, that God will look upon you favorably. God wants to go with you. And the Church of Singapore, being like a missionary diocese, always sending people out. Sometimes you could get so locked up in your organization of going out on mission that you go and actually leave God behind. It's possible that you could be so organized and you have all, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and God is just left behind and he's asking, well, when would you involve me in your business? I'll tell you a story. That there was a girl, I was told is a real life story, but I've been unable to confirm, so let's leave it as a story. A girl was going to go out with her friends, and her mother said, my daughter, you're going out with your friends right now. It's a little late, but I can't stop you. You're already 16, but I would really want you to go out with God, you know. Can I pray for you and your friends in the car? And she was in the car, and her friends and all of that. They said, oh, Mom, you're wasting so much time. She said, it's just going to be a short prayer. It's not going to be very long, very, very short. And the girl says, no, Mom, you're wasting my time. The party is about to end, and I just need to get going now. It's time. I need to go. I need to go. And the mother said, no, I think you really need to go with God. And the friends just started the engine. Was on full power, and just when they were about to go, the girl looked at the mom and said, you know what, Mom? Look at the car. The car is full. There is no space. But if you insist you want God to go with us, there's space at the trunk. Maybe he could go there. And the mom just said, you know what? Let God just go with you. I don't care where you put him. Let God go with you. About 2 hours down the road, she gets a phone call from the police. And said, the police said, oh, this was the last number that was dialed from this phone. This car just had an accident. Nobody survived. The whole car was burnt down completely. It was a mess. It was a wreck. But the trunk of the car was still intact. In fact, there were eggs in the car and not a single one broke. I read this story and there were some photos to go with it. And I thought, you know, even if it's just a story, I think we can never underestimate the presence of God in a place. We can never underestimate having God in a place. And I remember watching over the news, I think it was last year or so, a child in America that was kidnapped, and he suddenly began to sing some of his Sunday school songs and just mentioning the name of Jesus. And the kidnappers left him alone. I think he was hijacked in a car. The mother parked the car or something like that. And they took off with the car and the child inside. And they kept saying, keep quiet. And he just kept singing, you know, and just inviting the presence of God. And the hijackers just couldn't do any more. Either the song got too loud or they were irritated. But certainly you can never underestimate the presence of God. You can never have the presence of God too much. I would rather have God too much than have less of him. And Moses says, if you don't go with me, I'm not going anywhere. And I just wish that could be the prayer of the church in Singapore, that you would just say, yes, we are reaching out into the world, or even in your daily life, it doesn't have to be those who are going out on missions. Your daily life is a mission. That you could say to God, Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you very much for waking me up. I'm very grateful. I don't want to be rude, but if you're not going to go with me to work today, I'm not going anywhere. Because if God does not go with you to work, or if God does not go with you in anything you do, you're certainly going to make a mess of it. Even if the mess doesn't show up now, it's going to show up later. And I just see God this morning calling you by name. Most of your names are pretty long, so I can't give an example. Three syllables. But God is calling all of those three names, and He's simply saying, I want to go out with you. I want to go with you. I want to be by your side. I want to wipe off those tears when things hurt you. I want to give you that tap on the shoulder and say, well done. I want to give you my approval. I want to give you my recommendation to the world. Don't forget, Jesus himself, when he came to earth, had to seek God's approval in that manner. After he was baptized, the Bible says the heavens were open, and a voice came out from heaven and said, this, not that, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this morning, I'm just going to give chance for some prayers. If you want heavens to point at you and just say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There are two ways about this. You can make a commitment to God and say, Heavenly Father, I really want your approval. And commit your life to Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray together. I'm going to give that space, I believe. And if you want, there are prayer teams in the church, and they're going to come down, and we're going to pray together. And if you want just God's approval, not man's approval. By the way, man's approval has an expiry date, in case you missed it. It does. But if you want God's approval, you could step forward, and we will pray together. So shall we bow our heads to pray? Yes, Lord, we want your approval. We desire your recommendation upon us. We desire that we will step out into the world and be your children, carrying your recommendation upon us. And so, Lord, this morning, as you will lay it upon the heart of your children, those who would want to come forward, the floor is open now. If you want, you desire prayers on that, please feel free at this point to come forward.
Shall we all stand in prayer? And as the invitation has been made by Canon Rinji, if you would appreciate prayer as we sing.